Amen. Hallelujah. Let's go to John 3. And then we're going to go to John 13. Both I'm sharing from the Passion Translation. So why are you using that translation? That's the one he told me. If you don't like that translation, talk to my dad. Right. It reads, "For this is how much God loved the world. He gave his one and only unique son as a gift. So now everyone who believes in him will never perish, but have everlasting life. God did not send his son into the world to judge and condemn the world, but to be its savior and to rescue it." Amen. In John 13, verses 34 and 35, Jesus said, "So I give you now a new commandment. Love each other just as much as I have loved you. For when you demonstrate the same love I have for you by loving one another, everyone will know that you are my true followers." We don't want to be any faux followers. I tell your neighbor, say, "Are you a true follower?" Okay. We started out a couple of weeks ago, and we were talking about how when we received Christ, we became new creatures in Christ Jesus. And because of that, you know, we now have a new operating system. And in that new operating system, we need to understand that everything that was ever associated with the old operating system and the old you no longer exists. No longer exists. Everything about us, and this is important, everything, the way we used to operate before our conversion, it all died. When Jesus died on the cross, everything concerning the old us died along with him. When he was buried, everything concerning our old nature and sins and all of that was buried. The problem is the devil's trying to get you to believe that when Jesus rose, all your old stuff rose with him. See, well, no, that stayed dead in the grave. The only one that rose after 3 days was our Lord, period. So if our old way of doing things has died and all things have become new, and we have a new operating system, we needed to take time to talk about how we function in that new system. And if you want to know how to do that, go to the bookstore. You can get those previous messages at no charge, or go online. I don't have time to do a review this morning, because we got to get something settled once and for all. It's you know, it's one of those things that it keeps coming up. Then it seems to subside, and it keeps coming up again and keeps coming up. And, you know, I feel like screaming enough already. I'd pull my hair out, but that's already been done. Okay. But there's a weapon that the devil uses. And, folks, it has a devastating effect on believers. Devastating. And it's caused many believers to quit. It causes people to stop before they even get started. It causes others they make a choice. Well, I can't go any further than this, because with everything that happened, because I went this far, I can't deal with anymore. So I'm going to stay right here. But that's not where God wants you to stop. And there are others that when this weapon is thrown at them, they become paralyzed by fear and remain immobile, not going anywhere, not doing anything, because they're afraid. Then what is that weapon? I'm going to tell you in a minute. See, either we stop because of something we did before Christ, or because of a bad experience we may have had after Christ. And we don't understand that all of it is due to the principle behind the same weapon. Your past. We're stuck on mistakes that we've made. You know, some folks are stuck because Pastor Ed and I don't demand people wear what's called their Sunday best. Get over it. You know, I mean, like I said, you receive the same word in jeans that you do in a suit. Okay? And you're just as responsible for that word, regardless of what you're wearing. You know, we don't want you in dress a nice three-piece suit and a beautiful designer dress, gown, skirt, whatever it is, and go home and you're horrible parents or horrible spouses or horrible neighbors. You know, no, we don't want whitewashed sepulchers. Okay? We don't want that. We want people who are going to be the real deal, regardless of what you chose to put on for that day. You know, and if you think that we're wrong in that, then go over to 1 Corinthians 13 and choose to believe the best. I mean, that's what we have to do. Hey, we made a mistake, and we allowed a guest to have too much freedom, too much access, too much influence, and it negatively affected us. We acknowledged it, we repented, we move on. Right. But I refuse to make any choices based on a mistake that I made 3 years ago. Amen. Or whatever time that was. I'm not going to stay in bondage. Amen. To that. Amen. I asked God to forgive, and guess what? He did. Yes, he did. In the same way, I am not going to beat myself up and shut down just because I made a mistake. I'm not going to beat myself up and shut down because the devil threw some of my past in my face. See, you need to understand something. When you know who you are and you know what you have, when any of that other nonsense comes, it doesn't affect you because you don't give it substance by believing it. See, it has. If I did something to you, or you did something to me, and we sincerely forgave each other, then a meddler comes along and says, "How could you be friends with them after they did such and such and such?" That has no effect on me. Well, it does have an effect on me. I start wondering what's your purpose and why are you trying to do this, you know. But it's not going to make me feel, "Oh, how could I do such a?" No, it's done. It's that everything that I did, if I were to act today based on everything I did before Christ, I'd be hiding out underneath the building. I wouldn't want anyone to see my face or hear my, I'd change my name, identity, fingerprint, everything. You would have found no traces of me because, oh my God, how could I do such a thing? I wasn't in Christ. And I acted like it. Now I'm in Christ. I need to do the same thing. Act like it. And so do you. But too many folks get stuck in their past and they keep allowing things to remind them of it and they don't feel like they're worthy to move forward. God can't use me. After all, I mean, I was a fornicator. I was an adulterer. I was a drug abuser. I was, you know, God can't use me. In front of my name is the title pastor. Who put it there? God. Why? Because he never saw me as Foots. He always saw me as Gregory. And he had a plan for Gregory. Gregory is the one that created. See, God didn't give birth and put his spirit into Foots. Right. He put it into Gregory. Amen. Gregory created Foots. Amen. Okay. And then gave him total control. And I had to learn that that's not who I was. And this happens, folks, for two main reasons. In the book of Hosea, it says, my people are destroyed for a lack of knowledge. So there's some things about us that we don't understand. When I say about us, they think that who we've become, what happened to us when we had, you know, this new creation took place. We don't fully understand what happened to us. And the other, in the Gospels, it tells us on, I believe, two, maybe three different occasions, that when you receive the word and you don't understand it, the enemy comes in and takes the word right out of your heart. Why? You don't know what you have. You don't know how valuable it is. And so the devil will use our path, and if we fail to realize that the scripture clearly tells us that those of us who have received Christ have no past. Because it's dead. And so if something dies, it ceases to exist. It ceases to be. And let's look at that. 2 Corinthians 5:17. We're going to read it in a few translations. I don't do that to take up time. I do it because I ask God which one, and he tells me what to use, and I use it. The King James Version, therefore, if any man be in Christ, he is a new creature. Old things are passed away. Behold, all things have become new. Not some things. All things. That means your history has become new. The Contemporary English Version says, anyone who belongs to Christ is a new person. So if I'm a new person, it doesn't matter what the old person did. I'm a new person. The past is forgotten and everything is new. Everything. So when we received Christ and became new creatures, that process was like, and I Dan and Josh, I hope this is right, it's like reformatting a hard drive. See, it's been, you've been wiped clean and ready to receive new information, new data. And if you want the old, you can go back, but it's expensive to go back and try and receive the old data. Just like it's very expensive for you to go back and start acting like the old you. Very expensive. Essentially, what it did, it wipes everything away and prepares a drive to receive new information, and it's like the old you vanished. 2 Corinthians 5:17 in the Passion Translation. Now, if anyone is enfolded into Christ, he has become an entirely new creation. Now, listen to this. All that is related to the old order has vanished. Poof. Like it never existed. Behold, everything is fresh and new. Not some things, everything. Let me read you this footnote just to give you some clarity on everything. Not that we should need it, but just... This would include our old identity, our life of sin, the power that Satan used to have, the religious works of trying to please God, our old relationships with the world. Yo, Fudge, remember when we... Nope. No, but how could... No. You are Fudge, aren't you? Nope. Yo, no, come on. Now we used to play together. I'm not that person. Amen. I'm not that person. I have a friend I talk to every now and then. We just reconnected after years. He called me, and he remembers details about stuff. And he doesn't say it in negative. You know, he just tells me, I keep remembering that time when you did such. I'm like, Like, buddy, that person no longer exists. Like, no, but you don't, any of, no, I don't recall it at all. And you know what? I don't want to. It also includes our old mindsets. See, I love this little note. We're not reformed or simply refurbished. We're made completely new by our union of Christ and the indwelling of the Holy Ghost. Now, let's think about that for a moment. If that's true, everybody saying it is true. Then that doesn't mean that God forgot. He chooses not to remember. And just like God can choose not to remember, so can we. Why? We made in his image and after his likeness. And he said, I will remember your sins no more. That's a choice that he made. And that's a choice that we need to make since we've become new creatures in Christ. Amen. We don't have, if you don't have a, how can you get tripped up by a past if you don't have one? You think about it. Yeah, Mary was caught in adultery. Bible says in the very act. But you search the scriptures, you won't find any place where Jesus said he stayed as far away from her as he could. Oh no, she was the sister of his friend whom he loved. But he told her the same thing he tells us. He said, neither do I condemn you. Go and sin no more. We've been created new in Christ Jesus. Go and sin no more. It's that simple. And I haven't read, now, you know, some of you Bible scholars, you tell me if you have. I haven't read anywhere where someone went up to Mary and said, you are a slut. How dare you think you can come before the master with what you used to do? Jesus said, I don't condemn you. So if Jesus won't condemn us and we're singing Jesus be the center, and he doesn't condemn, how dare us condemn somebody because they did something wrong?
Amen.
Because the word says, and such were some of us. Okay. But God chose not to remember it. In Hebrews 8, I was going to start at verse 6, but I'm just going to go right down to verse 12. God says, for I will demonstrate my mercy to them and will forgive their evil deeds and never remember again their sins. So God chose not to remember our sins. Why are we holding on to them? It's like we got to try. We're trying to keep it a secret. And we'll say, oh, I hope nobody finds out. Although I can't let anybody know that I did. Oh, what are they going to think of me when they find out I used to do such and such? Okay. I mean, because I'd have a question. If someone came to me, no one has, by the way, so stop. Don't even start to try and figure this out. Okay. This is an example. Okay. But if someone came up to me and had one of those magazines, Playboy or Playgirl, whatever it, you know, the Play magazine is, and showed me a picture of one of our deacons. How can this person be a deacon? Look. I'm like, and? I'm not concerned about that unless this picture was taken yesterday. But I'd have another question. What are you doing with that magazine? Let him who is without sin show the first picture. Okay. But there are folks that won't open up. They won't open up. They won't get involved in their church because they think somebody may find out something. There's sometimes, folks, you don't have to do it today. I'm going to say this right now. No, God has not told me anything about anybody specifically in here. Okay, so you don't have to come. This is not a roundabout way of addressing something you did in your past. Okay. God made it clear to me. You could ask my wife. He'll tell me because I was having a hard time because I wasn't getting anything to share. I even jokingly said to my wife, I said, maybe I'll let you share on Sunday what you share. I said, I'm not receiving that. No, but then I said, well, maybe I'll take, some of what I shared and some of what she shared and, and put it together. And, and I said, okay, that's what I'm going to do. And I go and I sit downstairs and it's like, no, it's like you go toward the keyboard and it's like, no. And so I just sat and I said, Lord, look, I repent. If I wasn't spending time or thinking about it, I was in Bermuda, But then I did what I do. I started picking up and flipping through books and just waiting. And I saw one scripture, and it was like, bang, this is it. And everything just came together. We read earlier, anyone who belongs to Christ is a new person. The past is forgotten and everything is new. And I shared with you what the Passion Translation said. But again, when I was in the world, some of the stuff I did could have been classified as wicked. And even though the devil tried to make me feel like I was a criminal on the run, hiding out, once I understood who I was in Christ, I refused to do it. I mean, I'm not proud of anything that I did before Christ. Amen. That was not of Christ. And not being in Christ, most of what I did wasn't of Christ. But the word not only tells me who I am, it tells me why I am. And that's all that matters to me. This is who I am now. Look at 1 Peter 2. I just want you to know how God sees you now, today, at 12:10. It's in the Passion Translation. But you are God's chosen treasure. Priests who are kings, a spiritual nation set apart as God's devoted ones. He called you out of darkness. Now, just think about that for a minute. Why would we think we're not worthy to be used by God because of what we did before Christ when it says right here, he called us out of that darkness? So he knew what we were doing. He knew it was wrong. And he said, come out. I got something better for you. And you came out. And he said, the first thing I'm going to do is choose not to remember what I just called you out of. God doesn't go around heaven saying, see this one there? They used to do this and used to do that. He didn't do that. He didn't even do that with Paul. He said, a spiritual nation set apart as God's devoted ones. He called you out of darkness to experience his marvelous light, and now he claims you as his very own. He did this so that you would broadcast, not stay silent, that you would broadcast his glorious wonders throughout the world. For at one time you were not God's people, but now you are. Yes. At one time we were out there, now we're in there. At one time you knew nothing of God's mercy because you hadn't received it yet. but now you're drenched in it. See, at one time we had a past that was preventing us to be God's children. But God, because of his great love for us, sent Christ to pay the penalty for our sins, which is death. That's why, think about this, the scripture says old things have passed away. The penalty was paid. Everything that's associated with the old you, everything that was descriptive, every heinous act, every immoral act, whatever it was that you used to do is gone.
Thank you, Jesus.
And you don't have to be concerned about it anymore.
Amen.
Stop caring whether or not anybody finds out. It's like, it's not hidden, it's dead. There's a difference. Hidden things can be found. Dead things, unless you want to go in the cemetery and start digging, people playing in dirt will find dead things. Okay. The devil is trying to get you to believe, like I said, that when Jesus rose, so did your old past. Well, that's not true. Verse 9 tells us, but you are God's chosen treasure. The word treasure is an interesting word. It's segula, S-E-G-U-L-L-A, forgive the mispronunciation. And this is what it means, special treasure. It's used to describe guarded wealth, indicating the placement of the king's jewels, treasures, etc., in a safe, protected place because of their extraordinary value. Hunt your neighbor and say, that was a good one. God placed extraordinary value on me. God says that each believer is a priest and king, his unique and special treasure of great importance, a treasure above all other treasures. That's how God sees each and every one of us right now. Right now. He called you out of darkness and claims you as his very own. He said, we're drenched in his mercy. Drench means to thoroughly saturate by immersion. God immersed us in mercy and his grace. In the Aramaic, it means mercies cascade over you. Cascade depicts a constant water stream of water. It never stops. You know, we've had those rainstorms where it sprinkled a little. Then we had those rainstorms where you couldn't see through the rain. It just cascaded over everything, overran the drainage systems and everything. But we're cascaded by God's mercy. That's how his mercy came to us, in droves. Verse 11 where? Still in First Peter. Verse 11 says, my divinely loved friends, since you are resident aliens and foreigners in this world, I appeal to you to divorce yourselves from the evil desires that wage war within you. Live honorable lives. Listen to this. Live honorable lives as you mix with unbelievers, not live honorable lives separate and apart. God wants you in the mix, living the life. Why? He wants people to see it. He wants them to get to experience the I am you, not the I was you. Why does he want that? Because they was you. And they need to know what they can become. Because if God can do it for you, he can do it for them. But if they never see you because you're too embarrassed about what you used to do when you were like them, then you're stuck and they're stuck. Nobody wins. It's hard for me to say the devil wins, so I say nobody wins. Okay. It says, for they will see your beautiful works and have a reason to glorify God in the day he visits us. See, if we don't get over our past and get out there in the mix, the world won't have a reason. You're the reason that people will come to Christ. If you don't go out there, that people have no reason to change. First of all, they don't know that they can. Just like we didn't know. Something had to happen for us to know we could change. David was guilty of rebellion because he should have been out there at war. And he decided, we'll let them fight. They're good. I'm going to stay home and chill. See if there's a good movie on. You know. No. Said, well, let me take a walk on my roof. Maybe I'll just happen to look over where that little thing lives. You know, and yeah, she's taking a bath. Wow, she looks good. See, not, whoops, no, I'm not looking. Let me get off this roof. I should have taken myself to war. Father, I'm sorry. Oh, let me turn this way. I don't want to get another glance. No, he had to, see, he had to, in order to see, we were driving down the street yesterday. I forget where we were coming, probably from breakfast or somewhere. And my wife said to me, did I see something that this person had on? I don't know if you remember that, honey. And I said, no, I saw that there was a purse because I'm driving. I saw there was a person there, you know, so I wouldn't run over them. But I couldn't have told you, I couldn't tell you any detail about them. You know, because in order to see detail, I had to not see them, I had to look at them. You know, just because something crosses your field of vision doesn't mean you have to stop and look at it. Okay. All right. But David looked, and that led to lusting. It led to coveting. It led to murder. It led to adultery. He took an innocent woman and turned her into an adulteress. Why? Because he could. He was the king. And those were like, you don't protest the king and live to tell about it. I mean, that's what it was then. Then he was guilty of trying to deceive a loyal soldier who would have given his life for David at the blink of an eye. Then he was guilty of conspiracy to commit murder. And then he was guilty of first degree murder. Okay. I mean, and what does God say about that? He's a man after my own heart. Now, that doesn't mean you can go out there today. Okay. You're going to say, I want to be after God's own heart. No. No. There was a price he paid. The child that was conceived had to die. But God continued to bless and prosper David because he repented. Genuinely. As soon as it was brought, I mean, he was so outraged. He said, that person immediately needs to be put to death. Said, you are the man. And David wasn't, you know, he wasn't so full of himself that said, yeah, I know I'm the man. Yep, that's right. No, he thought, oh my God, how could I do that? Lord, I repent. And nowhere does it say anybody threw that up in his face. God, why you still have this joker as king?
Right.
You know what he did. I've never done anything like that, God. You know? I'm telling you. But the most amazing instance of forgiveness and not remembering past is found in the life of Saul of Tarsus.
Yes, sir.
That's if anyone had a reason to feel inadequate, it was him. If anyone had a reason to stop because of their perceived inadequacies, it was him. If anyone had a cause to feel unworthy, it was him.
Right.
Yet despite the past, he accepted this new operating system and all that came with it. He just accepted it. This is now who I am. look at 1 Corinthians. I've been trying to stay down the path, because I would have just opened with this and then would have gone home. But 1 Corinthians 15. We have a couple of translations. Read a few verses. Moreover, brethren, Moreover, brethren, I declare unto you the gospel which I preached unto you, which also you have received, and wherein ye stand, by which also you are saved, if you keep in memory what I preached unto you, unless you have believed in vain. For I delivered unto you first of all that which I also received, how that Christ died for our sins according to the Scriptures, that he was buried, and that he rose again the third day according to the Scriptures, and that he was seen of Cephas, then of the 12. After that he was seen of above 500 brethren at once, of whom the greater part remain until this present, but some have fallen asleep. All of them have fallen asleep. Wow. After that he was seen of James, then of all the apostles. The last of all he was seen of me also, as one born out of due time. In other words, Paul, he was saying, I was born out of season. I didn't spend time with Jesus the way all the others did. He said, verse 9, I am the least of the apostles, that I am not meet to be called an apostle, because I persecuted the church of God. But by the grace of God, I am what I am, and his grace, which was bestowed upon me, was not in vain. Paul said, I am who I am because of the grace of God. He didn't say, I am who I was. I am who I am. The voice says, let me remind you, brothers and sisters, of the good news that I preached to you when we first met. It's the essential message that you have taken to heart, the central story you now base your life on. And through this gospel, you are liberated, unless, of course, your faith has come to nothing. For I passed down to you the crux of it all, which I also had received from others, that the anointed one, the liberating king, died for our sins and was buried and raised from the dead on the third day. All this happened to fulfill the scriptures. It was the perfect climax to God's covenant story. Afterwards, he appeared alive to Cephas. You may know him as Simon Peter. Then to the rest of the 12. It was, if that were not amazing enough, on one occasion, he appeared to more than 500 believers at one time. Many of those brothers and sisters are still around to tell the story, though some have fallen asleep in Jesus. Soon he appeared to James, his brother, and the leader of the Jerusalem church. Then to all the rest of the emissaries he himself commissioned. Last of all, he appeared to me. I was like a child snatched from his mother's womb. You see, I am the least of all his emissaries, not fit to be called his emissary, because I hunted down and persecuted God's church. You don't hunt, when you hunt something down, folks, you hunt them down to, as my dad says, to do them in. Okay. Verse 10. Today, I am who I am because of God's grace. So it doesn't matter all those things I used to do. God's grace took care of it. So, no, I don't have the experience that the other apostles had. I don't have that firsthand knowledge of walking with the Messiah like they did. But I am who I am because of the grace of God. Period. So nothing else matters. Stop beating yourself up. You are who you are because of God's grace. Period. Period. God doesn't care if you're divorced. You think he does? If God wouldn't use people that were divorced, there wouldn't be a Redeeming Love Christian Center. Because both of the founding pastors were divorced. And one of the current pastors was divorced. Right? But there's some people, oh no, they put me out of the church. No, they didn't. They put you out of their congregation. But you weren't put out of the church. You're just not in the wrong place, right in the right place. See, Paul recognized that he had what's called a nefarious past. Had. But that's not who he is now because of the grace of God. Ananias remembered the past and thought God forgot. God said, you know, Paul's going to come. He said, Lord, I've heard about this dude and all the harm he does to your people. And God, think about it. Jesus never, he never said, I'm aware that he was a murderer. And he said, he's a chosen vessel by me. That's what he said. He's a chosen vessel. That's all Ananias needed to know. God didn't owe him an explanation. God didn't have to go. No, Ananias, you got to understand. When he was on the road, you know, I came. That's none of your business. Your business is he comes here, you lay hands on him, he sees. End of story. He was a rescue worker. He had to rescue his eyesight. See, we get, why do we feel that we have to pry into people's personal business? Well, come on, no, it's got to be purged. That, no. You're not the Holy Ghost.
Thank you.
The Bible already says how it gets out, the grace of God. What does that do? Causes God to choose to forget that you ever done it. Period. And nobody can get him to remember. The devil is the accuser, to be more accurate, the false accuser of the brethren. And so when he starts telling God what you did today, he's falsely accusing you. Say, so, well, how can it be false when I did that? No, you didn't. The old you that died did. The new you is innocent of any wrongdoing. So when the devil says, he caused three people to have abortions, what are you talking, like, what's that program, what are you talking about? Not this one. No, he's a chosen vessel. She's a chosen vessel. They are chosen vessels. Period. They're on their third marriage. They are chosen vessels. And why are you keeping account? You know, ask those questions. I do. Why do you want to? Why do you feel you have to tell me this?
Amen.
You know, someone came to me and said, "Well, you need to take some pictures because some of your deacons are asleep in church. Why are you taking pictures of people sleeping in church? Why aren't you focused on the word?" You'd be amazed. Folks, here's the bottom line. The devil, this is what God said. I wrote it down. The devil, often through people, even other believers, is going to throw your past in your face. He said, don't feel bad about it. He said, remember this, you are not defined. You are defined by who you are, not who you were. Okay, your current definition is not based on past actions, but by the grace of God. Amen. Say, I am who I am, by the grace of God. Do you understand?
Yes.
You sure?
Yes.
See, so if anybody comes and accuses you of something that you did in the past, It doesn't matter whether it was true or not true. You know what matters? You've been reformatted. So the past has been erased.
Thank you, Jesus.
Erased. Like I said, now, as long as it wasn't yesterday. But let's go there. What if it was yesterday? And you genuinely repented. I have no choice other than to forgive you. Now, depending on your position, I may receive instructions from the Holy Ghost to share some other things with you. But as far as forgiveness, that's a done deal. And no, I'm not going to say to you, you did something like this about 15 years ago. And you have a right to say to me, why are you keeping an account? I thought you loved me. Too many of us are not, just like the words that came forth from the Holy Ghost, we are not where we should be. We are not doing what we should do because of past. Either our past hurts, or something in the past happened that hurt us. Could have been something that happened in this church. I'll tell you, I could tell you stories about stuff that's happened to me in this church. You would say, and you stayed? Yes, I stayed. Why? God didn't tell me to go. That's the only reason I stayed. I couldn't even get a silence from God. I'm saying, because if I said God and he said nothing, I said, that means yes, I'm gone. He was emphatic. No. If I go to Chestnut Ridge Transportation, drive a school bus. This way I'm off when schools are closed. I'll always be when my wife's off, I'm off. And then one day I was driving by, he said, so you're willing to take the responsibility of me making this place go out of business? I'm like, put them out of business? I'm like, no, I'm not going anywhere. I'm staying. And things happen. I said yesterday to my wife, I said, Chestnut Ridge Transportation is starting to look good again. <You know>? It was just a fleeting moment. Or two. But I have to tell my, I am who I am because of the grace of God. And if I'm going through it, it's because anything that could prevent me from going through it has already been filtered out so I can handle it. The problem is you just physically sometimes you just don't want to. But it's never that you can't. God's grace made us who we are today. What we have to learn how to do is move forward. So yes, something may have taken place in your life that hurt. Something may have taken place that you're ashamed of or embarrassed about. You're hoping no one ever finds out about it. All that needs to stay in this room. You don't need to take it with you. You don't need to carry it around anymore. You need to be take the same attitude of the Apostle Paul. I am who I am because of the grace of God. You don't want to do it for the Apostle Paul, do it for Popeye. Okay. See, he always says, I am what I am, and that's all that I am. Okay. Period. This is it. Want another one? What you see is what you get. What? By the grace of God. And yeah, I do. I ask people to commit to things. Because I'm not gonna stand in front of you and just say something and leave and say, you got it, you're gonna do it. No, there are folks in here that need to be active in the kingdom, and they're not. They need to be active around this church. And they're not. Why? Because of their past. Stuff that they did or stuff that happened. And I'm telling you, on behalf of the ministry, and I can do this as one of the pastors. If we as a ministry ever did anything to hurt you or harm you, we apologize. That was not the intent of the ministry. The intent of the ministry from day one was to build up strong soldiers in Christ. That was it. So, yeah, did sometimes maybe we went a little too far? Probably. But that's what happens sometimes when you love someone so much and you want the absolute best that could ever possibly be for them. You may step over the line in your zeal to do it. We have to understand that. Have anybody ever thought that God stepped over the line? I did. I did. I'm like, God, I wouldn't have done that. He's like, I know. I have to say what to who, how?
Right now.
You tell them. You know. I mean, that's... No, it comes with it. It happens. As parents, I'm sure you've had an experience where your children thought you were the worst person possible because you said no. Well, how dare you show up at my school and embarrass me in front of my friends? Like, all I did was come to bring you up, be nice to give you a ride home. You know, that's never happened to me. I'm just using that as an example. No, it's not. I did that. I just show up. Daughter would come running over to the car, leave her friends come running over. She wasn't embarrassed about her parents. Her parents worked hard to do things that were not embarrassing. How do you do that? You ask God, should I say that? Or should I say it now? That's why I won't let anybody get up here and talk about stuff their children did. Mm-hmm. I said, no, that doesn't make them want to come to church. They're going to come to church and see, what happens is you'll say that, and then everybody in the congregation is going to start looking at your child differently. Yeah. And that's not right. So if the church had a part, if this ministry had a part in any of that, I apologize on behalf of the ministry, and I ask you, please, please forgive us. We don't want to stop you from reaching your full potential in Christ in any way. And you need to do the same thing with yourself. If you did something... And fine, you're embarrassed about it. I get that. I really do. But it no longer exists. That's who you were before Christ. So you keep saying yesterday, but this was last month. It still doesn't matter. Repent. Deal with it. Keep moving forward. God makes all things new. He reformats. And gives you an opportunity to start over again. You know, someone wrote a book, he's the God of a second chance. I changed it a little. I said, he's the God of another chance. Because he's going to give you as many chances necessary for you to get it right. Until you breathe your last breath, God is going to keep giving you opportunities to get it right. And he's not going to say, come on, this is 1,687,543. He's not going to do that. If he makes all things new, then as far as he's concerned, every time is the first time. And your attitude wants to be that first time is the last time. Period. Do you understand? So guess what? We're going to sing a song. Moving forward. And I'm going to ask you to do something. Yes, I am. Because God does not want you to leave. We say you will not leave here as you came. And that thing that you thought that you had pushed down deep, God just cut the top off of it. And now it's right there. We're not going to ask you to come up and tell everybody what it was. It's nobody's business. We're asking you to come up and just let God know you've let it go and you're ready to move forward. There are too many things that need to be done. We have spiritual things that need to be done. We have menial, natural things that needs to be done. Coming out to plant flowers is something that needs to be done. People won't come because they think somebody may find something out. There's nothing to find out. God's grace took care of it. He said, no, but you don't know what the ministry did to me. They've already apologized. So now it's time to start new. See, when you apologize, you reformat the disc. There's no more corruption in it. And so now you can start anew. And so you come out and you show your support. You come out. You show that you've let it go by getting involved, by being active. I'm telling you, every obstacle that God shows me, I'm chopping down with everything that's with it. If he shows me it's an obstacle, it's interfering with the progress of the people, we're going to deal with it. And we're going to get rid of it, folks, because we there's too much work to be done. Too much. We have to learn how to just trust God. And as Pastor Alex said, even for our ties, our shoes, our trust, believe God that they don't wear out, so there's no need to go out and buy new clothes. No need. That's more money to invest in kingdom activities. Hey, Lord, what about the styles? What about them? God's not interested in style. He's interested in souls. So you got the S right. This is the other letters you got wrong. So whatever it is, they start the song. You make a choice. That's all it amounts to. God chose, I am not going to remember their sins. I'm not going to remember their past. And I'm asking you to be like your Father God and choose, I am not going to remember the stuff I used to do. I'm through with it getting in my way. I'm through with it tripping me up. It's not stopping me from getting involved and doing the things that I know God wants me to do. Just forget about it. That's all you have to do. So, Dan, please start the song. And you do what your heart tells you to do.